It's budget mayhem in California.
Healthcare is right! Budget cuts are wrong! Healthcare is right! Budget cuts are wrong!
That's the sound of members of Planned Parenthood in downtown Los Angeles Tuesday protesting Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's proposed budget cuts to try and get California out of its crippling debt.
We have no time to waste. The controller has told us that we have 14 days to act, or California is at risk of running out of cash. I've already used my executive authority to reduce the state payroll, and I've proposed the necessary cuts to the three largest areas of our budget, which is education, health care, and prisons.
That is, of course, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. With us now is Patricia Nazario, a health, housing, and immigration reporter for KPCC in Southern California. And also joining us is Crystal Morales, a specialist coordinator for Ultimate. Oh, not yet, Crystal. We hope to have her later in the segment. Let's start with Patricia. How did it get so bad in California in the first place?
Well, there's a backstory. You know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger first took office in 2003, the first thing he did was cut this car tax that we had. It was a big promise that he ran on, and it was his first order of business. But that cut was about $3.6 billion a year. And if you calculate that over the 7 years he's been in office, it's pretty much what this debt is. We're looking at about $24 billion. So that's part of it. But the other part is politicians put to voters last month a series of propositions to try and cobble together some money to fill this debt, and voters rejected them.
Now, did they reject them because they didn't want to fix the budget, because they didn't understand what they meant, or because they actually just outright thought they were a bad idea?
I think voters are frustrated, disgusted, maybe some apathy there. There were people who just don't believe anything at this point. The propositions ranged everything from establishing a rainy day fund. Voters said no. There was another one that would establish some funds for schools and universities. Voters said no. Another one said we can borrow against future lottery income. Voters said no. And then there was another one that would have dipped into these programs for children, for health and mental health of children that are doing well and have surpluses. It would have taken those surpluses and moved them to the general fund so that we could help fill this gap. And voters just flat out said no. The only one that did pass was one that limited elected official salaries in any deficit year.
And to be clear, I mean, you know, Californians have this historic aversion to new taxes. I mean, facing things that, you know, the things that we heard Governor Schwarzenegger say, we're going to cut health care. I understand that we're looking at, huge cuts in the health care program for the poor, a shorter school year. Californians would rather face all of these things than think about new taxes?
I think that has to do with the politicians in Sacramento. California has this two-thirds majority requirement in order to get taxes passed. And Democrats have hold the majority, and they have in the House and Senate for a long time, but it's not the majority that they need. It's not two-thirds. So they can't just pass taxes like that. And the Republicans in power are very anti-tax. So there's always this struggle, and it makes it almost impossible to come to some sort of budget agreement in Sacramento. And I think that's probably the basis of it. Californians, I think, as people are very willing to give. I mean, the reason politicians had to come back to voters with these propositions is because voters voted on these things and created these funds in the first place.
Now,
before they could change that, they had to come back to them.
You cover health and housing. I mean, are you reporting actually on people that are making preparations for this cut or these cuts, or are people still in denial?
I think on the ground, people are still in denial or just not paying attention. What I am seeing, though, is grassroots movement. I'm seeing coalitions, and I'm seeing grassroots organizers and activists really, really mobilizing. I mean, they're joining forces. They're splitting the expense of sending families up to Sacramento so that moms and dads and children can talk to politicians, at least have some time to plead their case. I mean, what I'm seeing is all these people, as you started the sound at the top with Planned Parenthood, these organizations are coming out and saying, not on my turf. You know, yes, maybe there has to be some cuts, but there are also some revenue income streams that a lot of these activists want the governor to look at. and he's not looking at them because he's a Republican and they're basically anti-tax.
Patricia, you describe a system in California, which is already, you know, the largest state, so it's unusual for that reason. But the
sixth largest economy in the world or something
exactly,
like that?
Yeah, exactly. Huge. But the political situation seems to give enormous power to the minority. I'm just wondering if there's any way to extrapolate the experience of California out to the rest of the nation, because there are fiscal problems in state capitals all over the United States. Or is this California's own headache?
Wow, that's an enormous question. I'm sure that you could find parallels across the country. I think what makes it unique in California is this two-thirds majority. And, you know, they try to come together, these politicians. Just before this special election, the governor and the Speaker of the House went to African-American churches because African-Americans generally vote conservatively. So they tried to get three or four huge churches to come on board and to support these propositions, and it failed. So there's you know, maybe some states struggle more with racial issues or historically racial issues. I think with California, we see a lot of this pull and tug with the two political sides.
Patricia, do people in California, are they accepting that they're looking at children getting thrown off health care and shorter school years and probably most shocking to the middle class, the closure of California's famous parks in a nutshell?
You know, people are doubting if it can happen. It's such a strange time, and maybe this is all part, it's like this, you know, rolling avalanche. We're just not sure how big it's going to get or where it's going to go or when it's going to stop. I mean, some critics say, oh, he's bluffing. Oh, he's not going to close the parks, because why would he do that? It's a minimal cost to maintain, and they draw in like $8 billion a year from the tourists and the people who go camp there and patronize communities around those parks. But, you know, the governor has also talked about selling off high-profile state assets like the L.A. Memorial Coliseum, for example.
We will find out. We will check in with you again. Thank you very much, Patricia Nazario, reporter for Health, Immigration, and Housing for KPCC in Southern California. Thanks so much.
I guess the takeaway there is don't play political chicken with a rolling avalanche. I love that.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.